Today we are reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 14 to 16, the ESV version. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen. This is the word of the Lord. And you may be seated. Let me see if I can get this thing down a little bit. I don't know who moved this. I was preaching last week as well. There we go. All right. There once, many, many years ago, was a young woman who had to do something very brave. She had to walk into the throne room of a brutal king in order to save her people. Walking into this throne room was strictly against the rules, and she was risking her life as she was doing so. And she was telling her people, pray for me, fast for me. I will go in to the throne room of the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, then I perish. If you know the Bible a little bit, you recognize this from the story of Esther, the Jewish girl. And the Jewish people were under serious threat from a scheme by the man called Haman. By the way, if Jews tell this story to each other, then as soon as the name of Haman is mentioned, they all go boo, something like that. So a scheme of Haman, a descendant from Agag, the king of the Amalekites, that goes all the way back into the time of King Saul. And he hated the Jews with a passion. And he had set up the king in a way that he would exterminate, he would annihilate all the Jewish people. And Esther, a Jewish girl who had been chosen because of her beauty to become queen for this brutal conquering king, that we know as Xerxes from Persia, and she had this unique opportunity to stop this plan, but it would mean appearing in the throne room of the king unannounced, unrequested, as a complete surprise. And the woman that she had replaced as queen was Queen Vashti, who had greatly displeased the king one day, not appearing before him and his strong friends. And so she knew that she was risking her life doing this. It was a high-risk operation, but she went. And because of her beautiful appearance, the heart of the king, luckily enough, became soft. And she found favor, and she was able, it's a longer story, but she was able to stop this plan, and she was able to save her people. The throne room she stepped into of this brutal conquering king ended up actually being a throne room of grace and favor, to her great surprise. Last week we discussed, based in Revelation 4 and 5, the most central chapters in the whole book of the Revelation, that we've been invited into the throne room of God. It's why we're singing songs that are connected to Revelation 4 and 5. That's why I was praying into this, that we are in the throne room worshiping. It's sort of extended to this space, to the spaces on earth where Christ is at the center and where he is worshipped. We are part of this throne room scene. It's not something that's happened in the past or happening in the future. It's happening right now. It's happening constantly. We are part of this throne room scene. We've been invited into the throne room. And this throne room of heaven is the ultimate seat of authority, both in heaven and on earth. And the author of Hebrews reminds us in this passage that the throne room that we are entering in is a throne room of grace. It's not the throne room of an earthly king that can sometimes turn in your favor and sometimes turn into your disaster. As we enter through Jesus, our high priest, there's always grace, there's favor, there's mercy. And so when we enter into the throne room of the king, unannounced, perhaps unrequested, as a little bit of surprise, we don't walk in like Esther, like, you know, if I perish, I perish. No, we are invited in by Jesus to step into this throne room. And at the throne of God, we find grace and we find mercy. And so we enter with confidence. We enter with this assurance that it is a throne room of grace. And today we're going to talk a little bit about how the throne room of God became this throne room of grace. And to understand this, we're going to start in the book of Job. Whose favorite book is this? The book of Job? Good. Yeah, very good. No, it's a beautiful book. It's a beautiful book. You have to read it in the right translation. I found the Message to be very helpful in the case of the book of Job. Anyway, in the book of Job, we find this very interesting insight into what's happening in the throne room of heaven. God holds court in the throne room with his counsel, with his divine counsel. And read about it in Job 1. Now there was a day when the sons of God, that's the divine counsel, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. The word Satan in Hebrew is the word for opposer or the accuser. And at this time, in God's throne room, an opposer was allowed to bring his accusations against the people. Accusations that demanded an answer. And in this case, it leads to this whole thing where this Satan is allowed to test Job. And in the chapters, we read about how he's losing everything and he becomes horribly ill. And then chapters are filled with long sort of prayers of complaint, actually asking God into a sort of court case. Like, I'm a justice man, and like, how can you do this to me? And then his friends come. And they start off good because they're silent and they're sitting with him in silence and they're just with him as friends. And it starts to go, you know, wrong as soon as they open their mouths and they try to sort of heap more accusation on him. It's got to be you. God is just. Anyway, it's this whole thing. And in the end, God actually replies. God speaks from heaven and gives him an answer that is satisfying to him, and he restores him in all things. What I want to focus on is that this accuser was allowed in to the throne room to bring a case against Job, to bring a case against people on earth. In this time, the Satan had legal right to accuse. Why? Well, because of sin. The Satan had access to the throne room to bring court cases against people. And his accusations held ground as every person on the planet was guilty of sin. And so his accusations had space. But something has changed. God's throne room is now called a throne room of grace in Hebrews 4 because this Satan, this accuser, has been thrown out of the throne room and is no longer able to bring his accusations before God against us. When Jesus died on the cross, Colossians 2 verse 14 says, Jesus canceled the record of death that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside. He nailed it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame, triumphing over them in him. So the record of death, the record of our sin is wiped away. Because Jesus died in our place. And Jesus was without sin, even though tempted in every way. But Jesus nailed our guilty plea to the cross, and it's no longer adequate. It no longer stands. We are no longer seen as guilty. He carried the price. He carried our sins. So sin does not have the last word anymore because it does not define us. It isn't the most true thing about us. Yes, we do all still carry sin. We carry a burden of sin. We're still tempted to sin. We do still experience some of the brokenness of this world, the sin done by others. But sin is no longer what is most true about us. Skipping forward to the book of Revelation, there's another throne room scene. And here we see how, as a result of the cross and resurrection, Satan is thrown out. Revelation 12, description of what happens there. War arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. The dragon is the Satan. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. The accuser has been thrown out. There are no court cases held against us in heaven because the accuser is thrown out. Jesus threw him out. His accusations do not hold any ground anymore because he paid the price with his own blood of our sin. Therefore, Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can somebody say amen or something like this? Okay, good, good, good. Now, the throne room of God is no longer a place of accusation. It's no longer a place of condemnation. There are no more cases held against us, those who are in Christ. And something else happened. Satan the accuser was replaced by someone else. Satan was replaced by someone. And instead of an accuser that is accusing the brothers and sisters before the throne day and night, there is an advocate who is before the throne, advocating for the brothers and sisters day and night. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Paraclete, which one of the translations is an advocate, someone who speaks for you, who intercedes for you. So the accuser has been thrown out and the advocate has been brought in. And he speaks for us before the throne of God. He is the helper. He is the counselor. He is the one who stands beside us, the comforter, who ministers God's grace to us. And according to Romans 8, also intercedes for us at the throne on our behalf. This is how the throne room of God has become a place of grace. It's a place of grace. When we enter into the throne room, which is what happens when we pray, which is what happens when we worship, we're in the throne room. It is a place of grace. And this is important because it completely changes the way we come to God. It completely changes the way that we pray. Our prayers take place in the throne room. And so if we come with the right understanding of what to expect, of what's going to happen there, it will impact the way that you pray. It will impact the way that you worship. Honestly, if you're going to get part two of this message, it has the potential to change your prayer life around completely. We're going to talk about two directions of our prayer, praying to the throne and praying from the throne. First one is praying to the throne. This is the most familiar type of prayer. It's petition. This is basically the prayer that Hebrews 4 describes that we're starting off with. It's coming to the throne, and we see it's a throne room of grace. We come through the invitation of Jesus the high priest, who sympathizes with our weakness, and we pour out our needs before God. We pour out our weaknesses, everything that's bothering us, everything that's hindering us. We pour it out, and God meets us in our weakness. He sympathizes with our weakness, and we receive grace and we receive mercy. Let me walk you through this verse, which, funny enough, is 4:16, and it stands in this beautiful contrast with Esther 4:16 that says, if I perish, I perish. So we come with a completely different attitude before the throne of God. So it says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we draw near. We're invited to come close, not stay at a distance. We're invited to come close. Yeah, come, come, come closer, come close. No, 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 don't stay in the doorway. Don't stay waiting for me to wait. Like, I'm waving you in. Come, 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 come close, come close. You're allowed to come really close to me. It's okay. It's a throne of grace. And so we respond and we draw near with confidence. We're unafraid because we know we're invited in. He's inviting us in, so we come with confidence. And then we discover it's a throne of grace, the seat of ultimate authority in heaven and on earth is a place where we find grace. Not because of who you are, not because of what you've done, not because, like Esther, of how pretty you look, not because the king is in a good mood today. No, because he is good. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we find grace. And so we receive mercy and we find grace. It's not just for all people, it's for you. It's for you. It's not only for everyone, it's for you. You find grace, you find mercy to help in time of need. Because we have Jesus as the high priest who sympathizes with our weakness. Any area where there's a felt need, any area where there's guilt or shame or disease or anxiety or brokenness at the throne room, we receive exactly what we need. I need you to understand something. In the church, we so often talk about coming to the cross with our burdens and our shame and our guilt and our stuff. And that's really good. I will say nothing to minimize that. But I think that the picture needs to expand a little bit. So we've not only been invited to come to the cross as sinners in need of forgiveness, we're invited into the throne room as saints, finding grace and help in time of need. You come to the cross as a sinner in need of forgiveness. And through that, you are able to enter into the throne room as a saint, receiving God's ongoing grace, receiving God's ongoing mercy, receiving God's provision, receiving God's love, receiving God's help in time of need. We're not only invited to come to the cross, we're invited to come into the throne room. The way the book of Hebrews describes it is that the cross is the door into the throne room. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. So the flesh of Jesus, we're going to celebrate communion after the message. Through the broken body of Jesus. The broken body of Jesus is the veil that was torn. It's this access into the throne room. So as we come to the cross, through the cross, we enter into the throne room. We enter into this place of where God's presence is. Grace includes forgiveness. But it's more than that. Grace is God's favor. Grace is his blessing. Grace is his help in time of need. So we're invited to come as sinners to the cross and through the cross as saints into the throne room with a clean conscience and a record of sin nailed to the cross. You see, there's only one other house than my own house that I'll just enter in without first ringing the bell. And that's my parents' house because I have a key. It's the only house I will just enter into. I won't come to your house, see if the back door is open, and just come in. Maybe you don't have a back door. I won't just burst in. I won't, like, even if I'm invited, even if I'm exactly on time, even if I see that the door is sort of open, I'll first sort of like want to let you know that I'm here so you can welcome me into your house. But my parents' house, it was just there this weekend, I have a key. When I usually they greet me at sort of where I park, but even if not, I can enter in with the key. I know that I'm welcomed. In the same way, the Father welcomes you into his house. You don't have to announce that you're coming. Lord, just want you to know, in 5 minutes, I'll be there. Hope you're ready. Because I've got some stuff going on in my life. And you're welcomed in. The door has been opened to you. Unashamed, you walk in. With confidence, you walk in. It's a throne of grace. It's a throne of grace. You don't walk in like an Esther, risking your life to plead with this brutal king, see if there's any favor for you. You come as a son, you come as a daughter, invited by Jesus through an already open door. And you can bring all your weaknesses, all of your stuff, all of your requests to a God who is seated on a throne of grace. If that is new information to you, you need to receive Jesus today. If this is all new information to you, I think you need to first come to the cross and acknowledge Jesus as your Savior. Acknowledge that it was for you that he died, for your sin, for your stuff, for your brokenness. And you need to receive his salvation today. And I think for most of us, we are sort of familiar with this. Maybe the picture expanded a little bit. I hope that's been helpful. But if this was new information to you, I think there's an invitation to come to the cross. And then through the cross, come into the throne room. But I want to talk about a different form of prayer as well. One that you may be less familiar with. And it's not even a different form of prayer. I think it's a different direction of prayer. This has really helped my prayer life. I heard this from Menno Helmes, who is the national director of Vineyard Benelux, Belgium, Netherlands. This can turn your prayer life upside down, so listen carefully. Jesus' invitation into the throne room of grace is not only an invitation to bring our requests and to find that there is grace there. He also sets us in the throne room as a royal priesthood to intercede for others and to speak blessing through a delegated authority. I'm going to work this out a little bit. In the Old Testament times, the high priest would enter into the temple. And once a year into the most holy place, which I explained last week, is the throne room. And there he would mediate. He would atone for sins. He would ask for grace. He would do all the sacrifices and all of the stuff that was necessary. And then coming out of the temple, he would pronounce a blessing over the people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Priests received God's delegated authority to speak words of blessing on his behalf. Why? Because he had been in the throne room. He had been in the throne room. But under the new covenant, you and I are priests. 1 Peter 2, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And so as you and I come into the throne room in Jesus' name, by his invitation, we come as with our weaknesses, we come, you know, like we're invited in, we come with our stuff, but we also come there as priests. And we receive the position and the authority to speak on God's behalf the words that we receive in the throne room and to speak blessing over the people that we know, to speak blessing and favor over situations that we care about. This is called intercession. So petition is bringing a request to the throne. Intercession is speaking words from the throne room. And we are invited to do both to do petition, to bring our stuff, and to intercede in the throne room. As we come to the throne, what we are invited to do is listen to God about how he feels about certain people, how he feels about certain situations, and there receive words to pray and to speak out on his behalf. Remember how the Holy Spirit is always interceding for us. When we intercede, we join the Holy Spirit in his intercession for another person, for another situation. Intercession is not about putting in a good word for someone else with God. It's certainly not telling him what to do. It's more about listening to God and receiving words and prayers to speak as a blessing over others. I found this quote from Ruth Haley Barton in her book, Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. She says this, "I realize now that intercessory prayer is not primarily about thinking that I know what someone else needs and trying to wrestle it from God." You recognize that? It's not about me knowing what someone else needs and then we try to wrestle it from God. Like, it would be really nice if you could just this or this. Rather, it's so beautiful. Rather, it is being present to God on another's behalf, listening for the prayer that the Holy Spirit is already praying for that person before the throne of grace and being willing to join God in that prayer. This is also why, let me explain this to you. This is why when you come during the service to the prayer team, which is going to happen after communion today, when you come to the prayer team, if the prayer team does what we've been training them to do, you come, you explain what you need prayer for, and they say, all right, good. We're going to pray for you. We're just going to do this. We're just going to say, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Now we're going to be quiet for a moment because we want to hear what the Spirit might want to say to you. So we're going to join the Spirit in what He is already praying over you. And we're going to listen for that. That's what we're going to speak. So we say, come Holy Spirit. And then we begin praying something. Something that we feel like we might be hearing from the Spirit in that moment. That's what happens when you come for prayer here. Let me finish with this. Don't you sometimes find yourself in a situation where you don't know what to pray? Yeah. Thank you. I'm not the only one. I very often do not know what to pray over this one situation, that one person that's got this or that, or situation in my life, situation in my family, situation in my own heart. And I'm like, God, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what's needed. I'm out of words. All that comes out is sort of, It can be something in your life, something in your family, something, someone close to you. Let's actually find that passage in Romans 8. This is going to help you. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, right? But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the heart knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Don't you want to pray according to the will of God? I mean, that's just super helpful, isn't it? I'm sure that that's a little bit more effective than some of the things we're trying to pray sometimes. So praying in the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. As you step into the throne room of grace and all you have is know that you are joining in the prayer of the Holy Spirit before the throne room. You join in His the wordless groanings of the advocate before His throne. And perhaps, as you come there, with your wordless prayer, when you spend some time bringing the situation before God, perhaps you might even be able to pick up some of the words that the Holy Spirit is interceding for the same situation. And then you can join Him in that prayer that is in full accordance with the will of the Father. Just telling you, those are some of the most powerful and some of the most potent prayers that you can pray. Amen. Amen.